Welcome back. We're going to continue in our study, Developing Great Commission Skills. We're going to be moving today into a new skill topic, and that topic is levels of commitment. Now, one thing that I want to clarify is we're not talking about simply vision casting in the sense of casting vision into an existing congregation and attempting to move them toward ownership. We're moving back quite a ways, all the way into the community with potential newcomers. We're thinking about levels of commitment starting with people that are well outside of our orbit as a church and moving them one step at a time all the way to the point that they are beginning to really invest in the church and their ownership of vision is increasing. But again, we're moving way, way back to get a running start at this. So when it comes to levels of commitment, here's what we're talking about. Moving people toward vision ownership from less committed to more committed to completely committed. Now, that can be a journey of a long, long time, but that's what's in view. We want to think in terms of the big picture of the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Well, if we're going to go and make disciples, we have to ask the question of whom? Well, of people in the community, the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And so we're starting with the lost in view. And we want to see them become found and then become engaged and more involved. So that's the scope of what we are looking at today. Now, the key to this is having a strategic plan. We have to have a plan for guiding that movement from low-level commitment to very high-level commitment. And, word to the wise, we want to help people make that move from low to high commitment as quickly as possible. Now, one of the reasons that we want to focus on rapid movement is a couple of realities. One is, of course, the sooner people are engaged, the better, for their sake as well as for the sake of the church. Sooner is better. But also, you know, we live in a time when the population is constantly shifting. I know that ministries that I've been involved with in the past in a couple of major U.S. cities, we had folks that would come in and leave the church, not just leaving the church to leave us behind, but you know, their career path would bring them into the area and then 3 years later take them out of the area. So we want to engage them at deeper levels quicker, so that they can experience real growth, and so that if they do end up leaving us and moving on to some other place, they're going much better equipped in terms of Great Commission ministry than when they first arrived. So the key is having a strategic plan for moving from low to high level involvement, and the problem is not having a plan. If we don't have a plan for moving people through levels of commitment, it becomes very random and essentially doesn't exist at all. So what I'd like to do is spend some time walking through this progression of levels of commitment from low commitment to high commitment. And this is going to be reflective of a church's Great Commission vision. If we truly have a vision of not just going and making converts, but going and making disciples who are growing in their faith, who are learning to live in obedience to the commands of Christ, that's very important that we guide them through these levels of progression. One analogy that just popped into my mind, it would be, for instance, if you have a school program of K through 12. Well, we don't want people to get to the second grade level and just stay there. So year after year after year, they're still second graders. We need them to move through the progression. And so that's what we're gonna do with this approach. So let me get started with that. The first level that I want to look at, I'm calling this observing. The observing level, this is where the journey begins. Now, observance has to do with a person out in the community becoming aware that our church exists. They know we're there. They understand that we're there. Now, that, of course, is a very, very, very low level of commitment, just being aware. But let me give you an example. A number of weeks ago, I had occasion to be working with a church in another city, and there's some circumstances developing that might call for me to spend quite a bit of time in that city. And so one of the things that I would want to do in working with a particular church in that city is connect with people out in the community so that I could get to know them and hopefully, by the grace of God, bring them to that church. And so I decided that, well, one place would be a fitness center. So let me see if there's a fitness center nearby. And there was. So I went by to visit that fitness center. And a young person there, guided me through a little tour of the facility. And I said to her, I might be coming to this area, and I would be working with such and such a church down the street there. I said, do you know that church? Are you familiar with that church? And her response was, oh, yeah, I think that's that big church down at the corner of this street and that street. Okay, that would be an observing level. She knows that the church is there. She has a sense that it exists. She knows what it looks like. She knows where it's located. Now, obviously, this is a very, very low level of commitment, but at least the church is on her radar screen. And had it not been on her radar screen, I was placing it on her radar screen. So, the lowest level of commitment would be observing. Now, move to the next level, considering. This is the point when an observer begins to consider actually paying a visit to the church. Wonder what that church is like. I wonder who those people are. I wonder what goes on in there. There's a little bit of interest, a little bit perhaps of curiosity beginning to brew. I'm thinking about the possibility of maybe going to that church sometime and checking it out. Still a very, very low level of commitment, but higher than simply observing. So we move from observing to considering. Now, the next level is the visiting level. You know, that idea of consideration has blossomed into actually checking it out, showing up one Sunday as a visitor, moving into the church, attending most likely a service. You know, these days, as it has been for years and years and years, the most frequented front door of the church is the Sunday worship service. Now, there are other points of entry that we need to develop as a Great Commission church, but very often that's the starting point. Folks will attend a church service. Maybe they'll attend something else that the church is providing. Maybe there's some kind of event or seminar. Maybe it's a Wednesday night, something or other. But somehow a person is moving to that point of actually setting foot on the property of stepping into the life of that church as a visitor and checking it out. Now, visiting, of course, is a much deeper dive than just considering. So we might think of that as a big step. Observing, low level. Considering, low level. Visiting, big step forward. Now, next in line comes the attending level. Now, this is what I'm referring to in regard to folks who are visiting regularly, such that their attendance has become routine. They're there as often as they're not. You know, I know times have changed in the American church, where if someone comes two or three times a month, that's considered regular attendance. And so what's happened at the attending level is that our occasional visitor has become a regular attender, a repeat visitor, to the point that I'm really not thinking of this person as a visitor anymore. I'm thinking of this person as a regular attender. Now, one of the primary data points that we record in the church is attendance. You know, we count the people that are there. And the frequent question is, you know, how many people were there on Sunday? We count numbers of people. We count offerings. You know, those are two of the main data points. I don't want to discuss the merits of those two things as data points. I just want to state the obvious, that we tend to track attendance figures. And we reason that if the attendance figures are increasing, that that's a good thing. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that's a bad thing, but I do want to suggest that we misinterpret the value of that data point. At the level of attending, folks can still be more or less spectators and not be participants. They might attend, but they're not engaged other than showing up, sitting in the seat, receiving whatever's going on at that activity, participating somewhat within the framework of that activity, but then when it's over, they're out, and that's the end of it. So attending regularly is a significant move forward, but it's incomplete. And when we see rising attendance figures and interpret that as a very positive, healthy sign, we might be giving attendance too much credit. Again, attending is just a record of how many spectators showed up, not so much how many participants were involved. But now, as we go to the next level, we are stepping into a much deeper level of commitment. It's the connecting level. Now, when a person moves into a level of connecting, a transformation is taking place. And they're beginning to shift from just being a spectator to being more of a participant. And there are two elements involved in this idea of connecting. One of them is people and the other is ministry. Connecting with people means that I've gotten to know a certain number of folks that are also part of this church. I'm connecting with them. I see them at church on Sunday or whatever activity it is. Maybe I just joined a small group with a set of people. And so I'm getting to know them. I'm getting to be closer to them. I am connecting with them. And as I connect with them, I'm connecting with the church at large. But also the idea of ministry. I'm connecting to a certain ministry area. Maybe it's just the worship service, but maybe it's, say, a men's group or whatever it might be. I'm engaged with a ministry, and perhaps I'm even starting to help out a bit in a particular ministry area. So, yeah, as you can see, we're progressing to deeper levels of commitment. Now, the next level of commitment, the serving level, this constitutes the biggest single step. You know, when someone moves from connecting to serving, what they're saying is that, you know, not only is this a church that I regularly have been attending, gotten to know a few people, but this is my church, and I am now taking an ownership role. I am putting a stake in the ground here because I have taken on the responsibility of serving in some way. I'm part of the team. I'm not just the consumer. I'm now providing ministry by participating at a deeper level. My ownership is taking root. I'm sensing that I belong here. I want to be a partner here. I want to play a role. I want to be part of the team. I want to take on a piece of the ministry workload. Now, at that point, the ownership level is really getting much higher. And then the final stop on our progression of levels of ownership would be the inviting level. Now, this is a very high level of commitment because it involves that person who is making this commitment. It involves their taking on a high risk. And what is that high risk? Well, it's the high risk of inviting someone else to come, someone else from outside. You see, what you're saying at this point is that not only is this my church, but I think it could be your church too. And so I'm inviting you to join me at my church. Now that's a very high level. And no one invites people to come unless they have a strong ownership of the ministry of that church. Now, let me share a little story with you. One of my previous churches, we had a practice every year of our elders getting together and going through our membership roles and simply discussing each and every member of the church. Now, what we were trying to do is annually do a bit of an evaluation of that person's growth in the faith, that person's participation in the church. You know, we wanted to make sure that we were doing our job as leaders of helping people develop spiritually. So we would sit around the table and we'd go down the list, and each of the staff people or elders at the table would share what was known about that particular person or that married couple. And we would try to figure out, so does it seem like this person is making progress in their faith? Well, they are regularly attending. You know, he's involved with such and such a ministry. She's involved in leading a women's group, or whatever it might be. We would just do a little bit of taking stock of where that person is. And one of the things that we started asking about was we started looking into whether or not these folks seem to be bringing others from outside into the orbit of our church's ministry. Now, we didn't have a scientific way of knowing that. You know, we weren't running around with pen and paper, making note of this and that. We just wanted a general sense. And, you know, we got to be a somewhat larger church at 200, 300, 350. But we were never so huge that we didn't know each other. And so always, as we'd go around the table, there'd be a lot of information that would be forthcoming about a particular person or a particular couple. And at one point, we became aware that there was one woman in our church that was personally responsible for bringing 22 families into our church. Some of these families came in as unbelievers and found Christ through our ministries, were baptized, and entered into a life of faith. And many of them were folks that had a faith history, but in recent years had sort of drifted away. And so there was a bit of a renewal of their faith. And still others were folks that were recently relocated to our area. And this one a particular woman just always had this on her radar screen. She would meet someone new in the community, and she would make a point of inviting them to come with her and her family to her church. Well, you know what? I've worked with a lot of churches over the years where the entire church doesn't include 22 families. So here was one sole individual, 22 families. Let's say there's three or four per family. That's a lot of people. And she was having that singular impact on all of those people. But here's the thing. She did that because she was totally sold on the vision of our church to go and make disciples. She knew that if she could get people to our church, that our church would receive them well, and that we would clearly articulate the gospel. We would bring people to Christ by the grace of God and grow them in their faith. Now, again, talking about timing, here's the principle. The quicker a person can be assimilated through the levels of commitment, the greater his or her experience and contribution can be. We want to get people to people sooner rather than later, because what that does is it fosters ownership. And the more folks that own the vision, the more significant impact the vision can have. Now, let me ask you a question. The question is this: what would it take for someone to make our church his or her church home? This is a question that we ask in our church. As we were trying to refine our process, we tried to determine what exactly needs to happen in a person's life for that person to decide that our church should become his church, her church as well. And so here's where we landed with that. We decided that three things were absolutely essential. One was what we call the dynamic welcome. Secondly, a sense of being cared for. And thirdly, getting people involved, making sure they knew that they belonged with us. So I'm not going to take the time to unpack all of the details of this, but let me just summarize. When it came to the dynamic welcome, what we did was we put a team together that we called the welcome team. And the folks on this team took on the responsibility of making sure that first-time newcomer to our church would have a, quote, dynamic experience. Now, dynamic is a very subjective concept, But what we did was this team walked through, particularly Sunday morning, everything that we wanted the newcomer to experience. If Sunday morning was their first entrance into the orbit of our church, you know, what were they experiencing from the moment they drove into the parking lot to the moment they drove off at the end of the day? And so they dissected our Sunday morning and prescribed, this is how our newcomer reception has to work. So let me just share one element of that to give you the flavor. One of the things that this team decided was that if a family came in that had children, and those children were of the ages that they should be in one of our kids' classes, they wanted to make sure that the parents and the kids were very comfortable with that. And so the protocol was this. About 15 minutes before the start, let's say the start was 10 o'clock. So at 9:45, the primary teacher for a given class, elementary kids, ages second and third grade, that person would be standing at the door that was the entrance to that classroom. And the role that that teacher would play for that 15 minutes before the service and up to about 10 minutes after the service, the role was to be there to meet new parents and their kids. So as new parents would come in with a kid that fit that age bracket, they would be escorted to this class, introduced to that teacher. The child would be introduced to the teacher. And inside the class, a teacher's aide would be working with the kids already in the class. And so parents would be introduced. They would know who the teacher is. They would know what the classroom looked like. They would leave their child with that teacher. And then, of course, about 10 minutes after the hour, the teacher would walk in and would take over that class. Following the service, the parents would go back to collect their children, and they would be, again, greeted by that teacher, whom now they knew by name and by sight. And we found that that little exchange greatly upped the comfort level of parents and solidified the relationship of parent and child with teacher and class. Now, that was just a little snippet of the entire dynamic welcome experience. But you can see the level of analysis that went into that and the level of effort went into establishing that protocol. So we knew that people would need to experience a dynamic welcome that first time. Here's the thing. It's challenging to get people to come to church the first time, but it's even more challenging to get them to come back. And we found that the dynamic welcome went a long way to giving us a second opportunity to interact with those folks. A sense of being cared for, just use common sense there. Think through, what is it that we need to do as a church to demonstrate care for people? Not just give lip service to it, but actually provide care for people. Figure out what that protocol should be, put it in place. And then getting involved. We decided that involvement should include a couple of elements. One is that a person would need to be involved with some kind of discipleship opportunity, that they were growing in their faith by being discipled. They were in a class, they were in a study, they were in a one-on-one discipleship with one of our disciplers, something along that line. The other side of that was they needed to be serving in some way. You know, if they could be growing in their faith through discipleship and serving in some way, that they would be getting involved and their sense of belonging would escalate. So, those three elements: welcome, care, involvement. And we went to great pains to make sure that those three elements were always there. Now, remember, that key element of movement, if we look at all of those different elements, ranging from observing, to considering, to visiting, to attending, to connecting, to serving, to inviting, the big jump came at the level of service. So the goal was, how quickly can we help the newcomer move from that first time visit into being involved in service? Because we knew that by that time, more than likely, if that person had not been a person of faith, by that time, he or she was a person who had come to faith in Christ, a person who had plugged in to growing spiritually, and now a person who was plugging in to serving in some way. So the quicker we can make that happen, the stronger our church can grow. So that wraps up our discussion of levels of commitment. Next time when we get together, we will be looking at the dynamics of change. So may God bless your ongoing studies. In the name of Jesus, amen.